All right, so we have seen the fruit, but let's look to the root now at the story of Pentecost briefly, when Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit on his church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, page 1691 in your Bibles, and let's hear now the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fires and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Enough said for the sermon today? That was once for Jesus one time. But seriously, friends, the Spirit is still moving the church today, even 2,000 years after that first Pentecost we read about. Our sons and daughters still prophesy, and young and old declare the wonders of God. And we're getting a bit bolder of late, aren't we? Let me tell you a quick story. Way, way back in the year 2000, a quiet, nervous blonde kid stood in front of Neyland Church, terrified to profess his faith during an evening service. As he'd hoped, it was a smaller crowd that night, and the pastor had assured him, "You only have to say 2 words, really, I do. That's all." But sensing that the Spirit and not just his parents had put him up to it, he took a wild leap and he added 3 more, "God helping me," in a trembling voice. There was no eloquent speech, no prophetic insights, no heartwarming testimony. He may have read a favorite Bible verse or 2, but he can't remember. He's not sure. But one thing he does know. It was a far cry from the brave testimonies that his daughter and these 2 young men here just gave us this morning. It's amazing, isn't it? The courage and their courage and openness to share their faith stories. And that's not to dismiss any shy folks or to say that everyone has to give such testimonies, of course. But I wonder if you sisters and brothers from the World Communion of Reformed Churches have seen such growing boldness too in your churches and your youth. I'm not sure that we should give too much credit to just culture only for these changes or to the changes of the curriculums in our schools. Because according to Acts 2, it's a fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the very first fruit. The disciples were huddled together indoors, wondering how in the world they were supposed to obey Jesus' words, to go and make disciples of all nations, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. I mean, how were unlearned blokes like them supposed to know what to say? What would they ever, where would they ever find the nerve, the courage to do that? No one had ever given the mission so impossible, so huge. But suddenly the Spirit blows in and tongues of fire alight on them, untying their tongues and filling them with boldness. So then not just the 12, but all 120 of them, men and women, pour out onto the streets to declare the good news. And the world is stunned. What does this mean? How is it that these poor fishermen are speaking the wonders of God with such openness and power and in our own languages and tongues? What's got into them? It must be some spirit or other. Is it possible that they're drunk? Do you see it? At Pentecost, the Spirit moved them from inhibited to inhabited. From inhibited to inhabited. The Spirit opened their hearts and it untied their tongues. The Spirit filled them so much that they rushed out into the streets and gushed openly about the wonders of God. The Spirit enabled them to witness to Christ and to get over themselves. And the good news, friends, is that that same Spirit that Jesus poured out to fill them with faith and with courage and with trust is still available to us now, to every one of us, and to all. As Peter says, a new age has come where regardless of age or race or gender or class or culture, all people can speak out the wonders of God in their lives. Not just the pious or perfect or just those privileged ones. The Spirit comes in on Pentecost to push us out. Did you really think God would just sit tight there all snug and comfy? In your heart? I don't think so. No, Pentecost is about the God who comes in like a force of nature and who stretches us out. The God who grabs a hold of us and pulls us out of our shells. I was at a wedding this one time and the couple did their first dance together as newlyweds, but then nobody else stepped up to join them when it came to the next song. All the guys just slunk over to the bar, and the father of the bride ducked outside, as far as I can recall. And the single girls couldn't dive in because, see, the next song was a slow one. But there was this one poor guy, an uncle of the bride, I believe, who just hadn't got out of there quickly enough. And seeing him, his wife marched over to his chair with this no-nonsense look on her face, and started to tug, not so gently, on his arm. But he wouldn't budge. His other arm shot out, and without making, he didn't want to make a scene, but he tried very hard to refuse her without making a scene. Until finally she just said in a loud whisper that I'm sure pretty much everyone could hear here that night, "Oh, just get over yourself, Henry. Just do this for your niece." And friends, I think the Spirit is a bit like that. Sometimes we need a tug. We need a push to help us get going in our lives, especially when we're paralyzed by fear of our embarrassment or our shame. And God's Spirit is all too happy to provide that. She'll give us the nudge. She'll help us. She'll draw us out of our shells. She'll set our hearts and our tongues ablaze. Let's pray together. God, thank you for loving us just as we are, and for loving us too much to leave us that way. Keep drawing us out by your Holy Spirit. Keep us growing in your grace so that others may see Christ in us and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we ask this, and for the sake of your kingdom, God's people say together,